Good morning. Happy Sabbath, One Turner Church. Can I see the hand of those who are new for the first time? No one. I'm new. Oh, yes, welcome. Welcome to me as well. thank you for all the beautiful song and the prayer. It was beautiful. And the spelling of my name as well. Even my own church misspelled my name. So before we start, let's bow our head for the word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day of rest. We can come here listening to your word and study your word together. As it is a privilege for me to be able to speak for my brother and sister here in Montana Church. Pray that my story will inspire them to be closer to you. All this thing we pray and submit in Jesus' name. Amen. It is so ironic. My sermon topic is life of peace in Jesus. But this week, my mind was like, everywhere, because I have two assignments, big assignment to do. And I have a sermon to preach, and I just in big stress. But my sermon topic is life of peace in Jesus. All right, can it go? It's on. Yeah, cool. I think it went. Yeah, that's a memory scripture. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Have anyone here work from home? Work from home and you have to look after the kids? Yes? You may be able to relate to this. When you are in a meeting, and your kid running to you and say, "Mom or Dad, so-and-so took my thing." You're like, right? And then sometimes they say, they want something. "I want to play video game." And you say like, no video game, right? Somehow it doesn't click. Can you? It's on. The laser's on. Yeah. So you said to them, no. But then later on, what happened? You say, oh, yeah, let's do it. You go with the flow, right? But sometimes the kid said, "I want to eat candy." Sorry, the click doesn't work. And then you give in again. Or can you click next slide, please? Peace comes when the children sleeping. Isn't that right? When they sleep, oh, what a peaceful day. And then peace comes when... Next slide, please. When you sleep, I think that's the best peace I have. Next slide, please. Oh no, back to it. Yeah, it feels like our world is in the cycle of waking up, and then peace, and then waking up again, and then peace. Right? We are stuck in the loop of this world that seemed to be crazy. So the option is for you, get it off the toy for the kids so that they don't fight. I actually do that with my kids. Oh, you're fighting for the toy? Okay, none of you have it. So they stop fighting. Next option is get them to do something else. So distract them for something else, get them to do gardening or something so that they don't fight. And the next option is Get rid of them? No, I'm kidding. Oh, take them somewhere else, that your friend's house or something like that. But God's option is different. Oh, well, he allowed us to choose what we want to do, right or wrong. And he also taught us to treat others better than ourselves. It's hard, isn't it? Like, you have to do it. But the thing is, instead of get rid of us, he come to live with us. And that is the difference. God wants to live with us even though we are complaining and, you know, not quite nice to him sometimes. Oh, it doesn't work still. The next one is God wants us to know him, because when we know him, all of these problems will be solved. And this is where I'm going to share with you about how we are going to know him. Okay, from Paul. Paul from the books of Romans chapter 7 and 8. If you read the books of Romans chapter 7 and 8, you probably agree with me. That is confusing. If you skim through and read, and you can see that, man, it's confusing. But if you read a bit deeper, it's still confusing. But if you actually study it, it's actually become better. Because when we study the Bible, sometimes we just look into the passage, but we don't look into the whole context of why he wrote to the people and what message he wants to draw out from that passage. So we have to take it in as a whole, right? I have no luck today with this. So let's read Romans chapter 7, verse 14. And it said, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, so under sin." Can you see that? We know that the law is what? Spiritual. He compared the spiritual thing with the carnal, the flesh. Okay? Try this. He said, the law is good, but I am stuck in my flesh. What is flesh? He is trying to teach us two sides of the power. First power comes from above, the spiritual power that controls your mind. The next one, the flesh, is the touch, the feeling, the seeing, the listening ear, the test, the passion, lust, all of this controlling him. And he has no power to overcome it. But then, later on, we will study more about that. Paul was trying to say that he also stuck in this loop. Who is Paul? He is Pharisee, even worse than, or even higher than Pharisee, Sanhedrin, right? Like the top of the elite who studied the Bible, he know the law. But he said, the more I read into the law, the more I don't think I can be saved, because there's so much thing to do. But the more I look into Jesus, I don't know how can I be lost. That's what he's trying to say here in Romans chapter 7 and 8. I was once stuck in the loop as well. That's not a picture of me, I just take a... But when I was younger, I spent time with the wrong group of people, fighting all the time with other school, get their stuff. And then I was in the band, I'm working in the band. I play drum, actually. Working in a band for few years, loved the night life and alcohol, drugs, women. Then I was into car racing. Well, all this time I was into car racing already since 12. Stole the car, burn out, slide skidding in the road, and return the car, scratch everywhere. Sometimes my mom have to go visit my friend, take me to visit my friend in prison, in hospital, or funeral. My mom probably see that there's no hope in this guy. If this guy were to continue to live his life like this, he will be in the queue to the funeral. So they have agreed to make the exit. Sorry, next one. Yep, make the way out for me. Without my consent, just get out of here. They sent me here in Australia. On the plane, I was looking sad. I was sad because I don't know anyone here in Australia. I don't even speak the English. And I don't know what Australia is. Never, ever travel overseas. Ever, let alone come by myself. So on the plane, you know, when you fly to Melbourne Airport, you look down, you can see like green, beautiful hills and everything. I was like, oh no. You know why? Because in Bangkok, if you've been to Bangkok, you fly, take off, you look down, all cities, all gray. This is all green. I was like, no, I'm a city boy. I can't live like this. What do? I go to have a party with cow, so cheap. Oh no, what am I doing here? I was no way out. But then I realized that my mom and dad and my family wants me to have this new life for better change. But still, I struggle because I cannot speak the language. So I remember it like the first time in my life that I actually pray like that, like kneel down and really cried out. I cannot understand anything that they were saying. I went to buy McDonald's and I had to give the biggest note that I have because I don't understand how much they're talking about. I just point 1, 2. That level, only 1 to 10. I was struggle. So in my prayer, I asked God, God, if you're real, please help me to understand English. And I said something that I shouldn't say, but I said it. If you do, I will serve you. 3 years later, I forgot all about it. Oh, hang on. Last one. 3 years later, I forgot all about it. Happened that my cousin came to Australia to study, and she had been invited me for the whole 3 years, and I said, no, I don't want to go to church. And the whole 3 years, she'd been invited me, and then the last week of her staying here, she said, this is my last week. If you don't go, then I will never go to church with you here. So I said, okay. So I went to church with her. And as I enter into the church building, the usher team was so happy to see me. They know my name. They come and hug me. Oh, Joe! I said, oh, I'm not a hugger person at that time. Now I am. They were so happy. And then when I went to the youth group, they sang this song, He will carry you. How does it go? If he carried the weight of the world on his shoulder, he can carry you as well, right? The moment I heard that song, tears dropped from my cheek. I was like, what's that? I'm crying? It's warm. It feels good. I look around and I saw happy faces. And I told God, God, what's that? I want it. And the memory verse came into my mind. At that time, I was forced to do a memory verse back when I was young. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and what? All his righteousness, right? And all these things shall be added unto you. So I remember, like, okay. And I heard a voice say, if you want peace, come to church. I said, okay, done. So that for the next 2 years, I came to church and I studied the Bible, the prophecy, and I was blown away by the prophecy of Daniel and Revelation. And I was like, why don't anyone teach me this back in Thailand? What are they preaching about? Go home and nothing touched. This is solid. They opened the Word of God and they studied it. I was impressed. I was amazed. I was seeking, even though I don't like reading, I read a lot because I was seeking God. But then my visa ran out. I had to go back home. So I got a bad influence friend again. Hang out with a friend. Even though deep down in my heart, I felt bad because I know it was wrong to do it. But they are the only friend I had. I never have good Christian friend at church. So my life going down again. And at that trip, that time, I actually promised God to get baptized. I was just trying to shorten the story. I got a visa, a new visa, the permanent resident visa to come back to Australia. So the week before I come back to Australia, I told my mom that I would get baptized that week. And then guess what happened? I ran away. I ran away to a different city, like far away, so that I don't need to get baptized. I was like Jonah. But then my mom didn't give up. She rang me and said, Joe, tomorrow is the last Sabbath before you fly back to Melbourne. Are you going to get baptized? I was like, I'm picking up the phone. I look at the people sleeping on the floor, all of this drinking alcohol everywhere, drugs, women, all of this thing. I'm looking at them and I walk into outside the door. There's beautiful beach. Peace came. I was like, wow, what a contrast. So I said, Mom, yep, I will go back to the church tomorrow to get baptized. I was so scared that the church people will object me from getting baptized because they know how naughty I was. So when the pastor say, who object? I dare not to look back. I was like, oh, you object me? Oh, no, I won't do that. But after baptism, something miracle, like almost miracle, happened to me. The power to resist sin become greater. I used to swear every second sentence for no reason. Just put that word in there for cool. And I cannot stop it. And I remember I used to punch myself every single time I speak that word or any swear word. I will punch myself until bleeding. Because I don't want to. I want to be a good person, but I cannot be a good person by myself. I cannot. So I remember during one of the birthday, which I pray a lot, I want to be a good person, but it become worse and worse and worse. When I was 26, I realized I need to give up of trying to be good by my own power because I have no power. So I let God come into my life and I say, Lord, you do it because I cannot. Then I'm baptized. Then came back to Australia and start to look for a job. And that's another story for another time. And struggle to find a job, but God always provides. Since day one to this day, I have changed jobs like almost 20 jobs. All the jobs God provided. Only one job that I apply, actually not I apply, my wife applied for me. My wife applied, then I got a job that I'm doing currently. Currently is the one that my wife applied. But before that, it was God who provided the job every single time. I so want to preach on that, share on that as well, because it's really, really cool story, how God provided for me. But anyway, back to this Roman. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, let's read. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. It said therefore, right? Sorry, back. Yep. Therefore mean what? He was saying something earlier. Therefore this, right? So in order for us to know the therefore, we have to go back to chapter 7. And in chapter 7, it's a beautiful chapter, but a very confusing chapter. Can you do the PIP to that side? The left side, please. Thank you. Chapter 7, we will start from actually verse 14 again and go down to verse 18. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, soul under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me. But how to perform what is good, I do not find. He will struggle. And I think you struggle too with that verse, right? But what he's trying to do is he has to fight against his carnal flesh, his carnal desire. But now, with the mind, with the spiritual mind, he could fight it. And here in verse 25, he summarizes I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So you can see the contrast. The mind follow God, the flesh follow the desire, right? Which one's stronger? I hope it's his. But the problem is, not all of us have power to control this. We let this control it. For example, all of us are pretty adult, most of us. If you see a food in the fridge for 2 weeks and it's off, your sense smell it, the flesh say it's off. Your eyes looking at it, but it looks okay. What do your mind say? Eat it. If it's tofu, no. No, don't eat it. Actually, I have another story about the tofu in my wedding for another time. Don't eat it. The mind override the flesh. The flesh say, eat it, eat it, eat it, eat it. The mind said, no. Chuck it in the bin. Now, come back to the therefore bit. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Okay, how can someone be in Christ? That's the question, right? How can Christ be in you? Now, this concept is shared by Paul. Shared by John. John also have the same concept. And in John chapter 14, verse 20, it said, and that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. A lot of in, isn't it? It is more important. It is more than just believe in Jesus, go to church, read the Bible. It's to live in him. 100%. Oh, that's getting small. I need this. Turn to John chapter 15. And we read from verse 4 to 7. John 15, verse 4 to 7. Abide. The word abide means what? Live. Yes. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same what bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. And if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. A lot of abide in me. Like I emphasize a lot of in, isn't it? What's that? What's that mean? How can Christ abide in you? Let's have a look. This is Jesus. This is you. How can God be inside of you? How can a big God be inside a small body like you? In John chapter 1, explain, if you turn quickly. John chapter 1. I presume you all use electronic Bible because I cannot hear any flipping page. John chapter 1, it starts with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So here you can see the Word equal God. Okay? Now, keep reading. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. So what kind of Word is this? This Word has the power to create how much? Everything. Who is this? So we identify the Word equal God, right? But who is this God? Is it God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? With which one? Okay, how do you know that? Let's have a look. So have a look at this first. The Word equal God, the one who created everything, the one in Genesis chapter 1, and God said, the Word spoke and all things come to existence. Now have a look at John coming down, chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh. What's flesh? Become flesh, not spirit, right? Become like human. And live among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who is this God? Who is this Word? The Word become flesh? Only one God that became flesh, right? But check this out. I highlighted only begotten of the Father or begotten Son, full of grace and truth. Check this out. Keep reading. Verse 17 to 18. For the law was given through who? Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Wow. It's like you have a formula that you like have a question in mathematics and you like try to solve it, and then later on you turn to this page, this verse is the answer. Grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. So who's the Word? Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the one who spoke in Genesis chapter 1. Let there be light. I don't know if you know that, but when I know that for the first time, I was like, wow! No wonder it's only Him that has power to die for us, because His life, one life, equal to all life. When I understand that, it blew my mind. I was like, that's amazing. Psalm 119, verse 11, it says, Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I may not, what? Sin against You. The Word of God, when we internalize it in our heart, it helps to protect us from sinning against God. So here, sin, trying to enter to you, but you have God's Word, like a lot of memory verse inside your brain, and then when sin tries to enter, knock, knock, boom. Because the Word of God has power to resist sin. Imagine you don't have the Word of God. Knock, knock, come in. Right? Because you have no power to resist it. Like Paul was struggling with his flesh. Who has not struggled with your flesh? How do you overcome it? Only through the Word of God. The Word of God has power to resist sin, to make us to resist sin. How about here? When our sinful desire in the mind trying to control the lower power, what happened? You go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It said, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You let the Spirit control your mind. You pray, you say, God, it's so tempting to do this thing. It's like right there in front of me. I can do this. If you don't submit to God in prayer at that very moment, I can guarantee you 99% of we all will do it. But if you got tempted and you stop and you pray and let the Spirit help you, 100% you will turn away. You will say, no, I cannot sin because sin made me hang Jesus on the cross. I cannot sin. John chapter 15, verse 5. It said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. The same concept that Jesus is the vine. We are just the branches that come out of this vine who have rooted into the earth full of resources for you. You decided to disconnect to him, from him, then you die. You have to be connected to the Word of God because it gives you the power to overcome sin. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, to them God will to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentile, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. This verse confused me for the whole time, for the long time, until I realized that Christ in you means when Jesus, the Word of God, you started memorizing the Word of God, internalizing the Word of God, finally is create change, a transformation in the way you act, the way you talk, the way you think, the music you listen to, whatever you're watching. It changed that because Christ is in you. He's like, right there, sit next to you. Are you going to watch something that you're not supposed to watch? You cannot. Christ right here. He's actually in me. When the Word of God, the more you memorize Scripture, sin becomes little. Not that we're not getting tempted. We will get tempted. But Christ stronger. The Word of God has power. Most of us do not understand how powerful the Word of God is to be able to change our life. And we just ignore the beautiful truth that in order to get this translated to your hand, many people have died. This is the book, precious book, that someone else willing to die so that we can have a read. When you internalize the Word of God, people will see it. When 2 years after I got baptized, I studied the Bible, and actually, I just skipped that. That's my picture. Around that time, That was taken in U.S. when I went to mission college in U.S. Anyway, I couldn't find a picture because I don't like taking pictures. So that's the only one. So I make a trip back to Thailand. During the whole time, I was studying the Bible, and I feel like, wow, this is insane. This is so cool. I want to teach this to my mom and dad. But I was holding back because I felt I cannot live and do that because I'm working. So you know what happened? God let me have no more job because the company shut down and moved to Malaysia. I was like, okay, now it's the opportunity for me to go. They pay me out 3 months. I said, God, last time it took me 6 months to get a job, but now I will go, I will use this money 1 month for you. 1 month I will just go to Thailand and I will teach my mom and dad the Bible that I study. But I have 2 months. These 2 months, you handle it. And I went back home. As I arrived in the airport, I'm walking to my mom. All my family were there. And they were crying. I was like, they probably miss me a lot. And then anyway, in the morning, 6 o'clock, I opened the Bible and started devotion by myself downstairs. My mom and dad came. And then also we do devotion together for the first time in a family. I forgot to tell you, we don't talk. I grew up pretty much by myself. I don't talk to my mom and dad. That time, my mom said to me, my sister came, my dad pretend not to listen, but he over there, listening ear, is our culture thing. The dad doesn't listen to the children. But what changed is that I asked my mom, why did you cry when you saw me? And you know what she said? You changed. I did not know that I was changing. But for someone who haven't seen me for 2 years, they can see. The way you dress, the way you talk is different. Why? Because I have Christ in me. For the whole entire month, I usually go to nightclub and think, that time I stay home entire month. Except Sabbath, I go to church. And after 1 month finished, I came back to look for work. And I rang mom after 2 weeks. And mom said, Joe, thank you so much for coming back. Your dad used to watch NBA in the morning. He's now reading the Bible. Your brother, I forgot to talk about the brother, but anyway, I study with him after midnight. I study with my sister about 10 o'clock p.m. I study with my mom at 6 o'clock and during the whole day as well. So pretty much the whole trip is for my family. Study the Bible. My brother became on fire. He became a youth leader in the church. My sister started serving in the church. My mom wrote all that she learned from me and find a Bible student, teach that person, and that person got baptized. The whole church changed because I asked them, what do you do after Sabbath afternoon? Like, after this, like, afternoon, what do you do? They normally go and shop, play video games. But after that, they study the Bible. They have a Bible group started, the whole church was changed. Everyone was asking, what happening to that Joe? And I said, Jesus changed me. The word of God changed me. You know, anyone here do RC cars, like remote control car? If you have a cheap remote control cars and you happen to play with another cheap remote control cars, what happened? They're all jamming the frequent, the signal is jamming. Like you want to turn left, they turn right. They're like confusing. You can't play together with the same remote. It's like us, our body is like the car, but we allow two remote control to control us. One, you said, I'm going to church, I want God to control me, but I want to control too. So when I want to turn left, God said, turn right, but I want to go left. And it's confusing. So in order for you to be changed, you must submit yourself to God. Give him the remote control. So there is only one remote to control. And you can walk in the way he wants you to walk. Another thing is, if you want peace, you have to allow him to be in you by memorizing God's word. Isn't that your desire to have a change in your life, in your Christian walk with God? Isn't that your desire to want God to have power? The power is in Jesus' name. To have power help you to overcome the things that you are struggling right now. If that's your desire, I want you to raise your hand to God and say that, I want this change. I want to be changed. And I want to start memorizing God's word today. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the way you have changed my life, that I can come to share my struggle with your people. I know a lot of people are struggling spiritually, plateau. But we don't want that. I know you don't want that. You saw the hands that been raised. You know who they are and how they struggle. What are they struggling with? I pray, Lord, that you will give them the power as they give you the remote control to control their life. Please be with us now as we go home and still continue to observe the rest of the Sabbath day. I pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.